Professor Nicholas Economides will now pick up where Eamon very interestingly has brought us. Nick.
Well, thank you very much for the invitation. I'm afraid the story that I'm going to say is not as is far away from the cheerful story that we just had. But it is true. So let me see if I can handle this. Okay. So this is the summary of the story. It's a simple. There's some euros down there. The Greek piggy bank has been emptied, and this is another way to see the story. This is an ancient god of the sea, Poseidon, looking over the storm behind him. Okay, so the issues. In this crisis, we had a number of states that were involved, not only just Ireland, but of course Portugal, Spain, Cyprus, and Greece. And Greece was, in fact, in the worse shape than all the other countries when the crisis started. It had a very large budget deficit, over 15%, a very large debt as a percentage of GDP, very large state sector with about 800,000 employees in a country of only 11 million, and a lack of competitiveness, not only in the state sector, but also in parts of the private sector. So the EU intervened by as follows. First of all, it made a plan through which Greece reduced the deficit. And in fact, by 2014, the deficit had been eliminated. Greece has presently, or it had until the present government, a balanced budget at the end of 14. So it increased taxes, it reduced spending. The objective of the program was to increase the competitiveness of the private markets, of the private sector, by opening markets to competition, and other measures that have been called structural reforms, and I can be more specific in a minute. It recapitalized the banks. The Greek banks did not have the same problems as the Irish banks. They were in pretty good shape as far as their private loans, but they had bought a lot of Greek debt, which was restructured, and then they needed extra capital, which came from the European Union loans. And additionally, something unique among the countries of the programs, there was a what they called euphemistically the private sector involvement, or PSI, which is another way to say that the bondholders got only 25 cents on the dollar. there was a big haircut of the bonds held by the private sector. Okay. The program countries were lent at a very low interest rate. The Greek interest rate on the average is 1.82%, it's extremely low. The banks were rescued with about 50 billion from the European Union. But the way it was done was peculiar. Instead of the banks getting the money directly, the state of Greece got the money and then Greece gave it to the banks. That was, in my opinion, not right. It gave primacy to the state, and it gave the ability of the state to control the banks completely. Additionally, one of the problems that arose in the crisis was that the European Union was not ready, did not have the institutions ready to deal with the crisis. And it dealt with it as the crisis became more and more intense as it went to different countries. So each one of these countries got a different deal. And the one that got the worst deal, in fact, was Cyprus, which was the last one. Part of the problem was how to deal with the banks. in the end, the way that the present rules of the European Union reduce the quality of EU banks compared to US banks, because they don't cover completely to the extent that the US banks cover the deposits of individuals. The US covers 250,000 per person per bank, while the EU covers 100,000 euros for all the banks combined. That doesn't really affect the countries that are in good shape, but in a country like Cyprus, for example, it's a disaster because it brings the quality of their banking down. So as I said before, there was a haircut. This is a good picture. I mean, people don't usually understand what a haircut means in bonds. But this is actually the best picture would be if this guy had a big Afro style long hair before, and then after 74%, he's down here, where he is. Okay, so the private bondholders lost about 100 billion because of this haircut. Part of this money was lost by Greek pension funds and Greek banks. So there is a lot of pain inside Greece because of that as well. But nevertheless, after 4 years of the program, in the spring of 14, things look pretty good. As we already heard, Ireland had already recovered, left the program. Portugal was very close to leaving the program. And the Greece that started with a 15% deficit in 2014 had a primary surplus, that is a government surplus, if you disregard the interest that it pays on its loans. And it was growing well. And 2 years after its bankruptcy and the haircut that we discussed a minute ago, in April, May 14, it managed to issue bonds and managed to sell them at 3-year bonds at 3.5%, 4-year bonds at, 5-year bonds at 4.5%. These are, in my opinion, that was a great success of the program, that 2 years after the bankruptcy, the country can go to the people that lost 75% of their money and sell them bonds at reasonable rates. But the most important thing, and maybe that doesn't show so much when in the numbers, is that unemployment and recession problems remain. Unemployment in Greece in 14 was about 25%, and youth unemployment much, much higher. And additionally, the shrinking of the economy that was necessary to make the balanced budget created a recession that over time people had lost about 25 to 30% of their income. So people are very upset. And because people were that upset, the political situation deteriorated. There was an obscure left-wing party with 4% market share, and over time, the civil servants moved from traditional parties to that party, and people who were upset about how things were going moved to that party, and that party became the first party in European and local elections in May 14. At the same time, the government, the Samaras government, that was the previous conservative center-left, center-right coalition government, was trying to finish the program. But the IMF wanted a big success to finish the program. They asked for more stuff than this government could ever deliver, especially with the prospect of elections coming up. So the government couldn't deliver that, the previous coalition. And the Syriza government, the left government, promised reversal of all reforms and privatizations, increasing the state sector, increasing wages and pensions, including reestablishing the 13th salary. Maybe you don't know, but in Greece people get paid the 13th salary. Or they used to be paid, then in part of the reform it was abolished, and the Syriza comes up and says, well, we're going to give it back to you. But the 13th salary is not something trivial. It's 8%, if you think about it, of the budget. So it's not something trivial that you can say, I'm going to give you like that. Anyway, pretty soon after Syriza did well in May 14 elections, Greece was excluded from the money markets again. You could see the 10-year interest rate, the year on 10, the, I'm sorry, the interest rate on 10-year bonds, in May it was something like 5%. By December it was 9%+, almost 10%. Finally, in the end of January, Syriza gets elected, and the situation is much more dire now than it has been for a number of years. And these are kind of bullet points. I'm going to go through it in the next few slides. Greece has a money crunch, banks are squeezed, the old program needed to be renewed, the Europeans asked for more reforms, and Syriza wants to go back. So the most important point as we speak today, and you will see it in the headlines of the financial newspapers, is that Greece is in a money crunch. What has happened is that with the prospect of the left being elected, people didn't pay taxes because they thought, well, maybe we don't have to, maybe they're going to be postponed, maybe we can have installments, but in any case, maybe there is a possibility, so we're not going to pay. So they didn't. Greece cannot borrow money from the financial markets, and it won't be able to borrow from the EU and the IMF without proceeding with reforms. And the state is very close to running out of money. Here, let me give you an idea. I don't know if you can see this, but this is the loan obligations of Greece. And let me explain what I mean here. These lines, IMF, 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 these are direct loans to the IMF. The other lines, which are, the Treasury bill holders amounts, these are issues of the Greek government of 3 and 6 month T-bills. Now, these originally included some that were bought by foreign banks, about 25% of them. And that's what I call on the right the net obligation. Why? Because when it comes down for this to be re-auctioned or refinanced, the European Central Bank has forbidden Greek banks to buy more than what they have, which means that whatever the foreign banks, and the foreign banks are not going to buy now because the situation is so uncertain, so which means that 25% that used to be held by foreign banks now has to be held by the Greek state. So these are the numbers of the net obligation. For example, the first number here, that was today, 250 million. But if you add these numbers, and you can see the running total going to the middle of June, is 4.6 billion. Now that's a very large number for the Greek economy and completely beyond the ability of the Greek state to actually pay without getting a new loan from outside. So it's running out of money. The Greek banks have bought about 15 billion of these T-bills. The ECB will not allow them to buy more. The government wants to push the ECB to do that. They play what I call a chicken game. I don't know if you're familiar with this idea of a chicken game. In a game in which Greece is almost sure is going to lose because there is not too much it can bluff on, because everybody knows all the cards. and the other guys are much bigger than Greece. I mean, so you cannot really, it's very, very hard to win in this game. So what does the government do to be able to elongate its existence? It took money from pension funds, whatever cash the pension funds had, and agricultural subsidy money that was hanging around until harvest. They took it and, you know, gave it to the Bank of Greece so that they can borrow a few more. But this, as you can imagine, I mean, that only gives you a few more days, maybe a few more weeks. It doesn't really solve the problem. The real problem is going to be solved only with an agreement between the government and the creditors. Additionally, the Greek banks are squeezed because the tremendous political uncertainty has made people withdraw a significant part of their deposits. So people estimate that 30 to 35 billion has been withdrawn from about 160 in the last four months. So that has put the banks in a very hard position because their assets are disappearing. So they get emergency liquidity, that is cash, from the ECB. So they have managed to get about 60 plus 48 emergency liquidity assistance from the ECB. And of course, the ECB says, we provide liquidity to you as long as you are in the euro and you are in the program, you are in this agreement that we have. Otherwise, we will not be, you will not be able to get that. So what do we really need to do in Greece? We need to do a lot of stuff that has happened in Ireland, and of course some of them are very peculiar to Greece. Greece doesn't have private universities. It's probably the only country in the world that doesn't. It's written in the constitution. There are no private universities. I mean, I don't see what's wrong with having NYU in Greece, but they do. I mean, the population does. At some point in time, it did. So we need to change that. We need to open the so-called closed professions, like the transportation, trucks, need special licenses to exist, and these licenses are privately held and exchanged, and they're very expensive. So we need to abolish that. We need to shrink the state. The state is way too big. I already told you, 800,000 people for an 11 million population country. We need to simplify the state procedures for starting and running private businesses. We definitely need to cut the tax rates. What's one of the things that Ireland did very well? The tax rates are extremely high in Greece, and they don't attract business. The Greek businesses find ways to go to Bulgaria, where the tax rate is only 15%, and move over there and get renamed and so on. Greece needs to reform the tax collection mechanism. There's a tremendous amount of corruption in that mechanism, and the amount of taxes that the state manages to collect is just a fraction of what they're supposed to collect. Another problem is that even in the cases where Greece is successful and prosecutes successfully the tax evaders, it takes many years. It takes them 6-7 years to get a decision and that. And we need to have courts that work quickly, hopefully in 6 months. And in my opinion, it would be a good idea for new businesses to have a zero tax period for a few years. And of course, Greece needs to go forward with the privatizations that were part of the program. The objective, in my opinion, should be to reduce unemployment to 15% in 2 years. I think that's a good objective to have in mind, and any finance minister should try it. And one way to do that might be to get an exemption from the program. The program is called Mnemonio in Greek. To get an exemption from the program on public investment, so that public investment can be done outside the restrictions of the austerity program, so that more jobs get created. And I don't mean to subsidize people and give them fake work. I mean real work in which there is an investment and it attracts workers. And the sectors, of course, that would be good for that, for Greece, would be tourism, renewable energy, general infrastructure, specialized architecture, and export industries. Okay, so unfortunately, the bad news is that 4 years of very hard work for Greece, and when the program almost finished, and it was very close to finishing in the middle of 14, have been lost. And they were lost quickly. They were lost in the last 3 months. And how bad things are, in my opinion, is indicative of this statistic. The Greek government bond that was issued, this is a three-year bond, that was issued in April 14 at 3.5%, yesterday, or today, was trading at 27%, you know, the secondary market for these bonds. People were trying to get rid of them, right? So that's why they're trading at this huge interest rate. And if you make the calculations, this implies a probability of bankruptcy of Greece in the euro or an exit from the euro of about 45%. So as we get to the end of April and the government has to decide if it's going to meet its foreign obligations or if it's going to not pay the local workers, the pensioners, and the and so on. And that's a hard decision. I think that this particular government, being from who they are, they're not going to pay the foreign obligations. They're going to pay the local ones. That will create a bankruptcy, or what's called a credit event in more technical terms. That would be a bankruptcy within the euro. And by now, I'm pretty confident that the European partners want this bankruptcy to happen within the euro. They're not going to try to push Greece to leave. But it's possible that the politicians in Greece, the ones in power, might prefer to go out of the euro. I hope not, because out of the euro is going to be much worse for Greece. And it won't really have such huge effects on the rest of Europe, but it will be a disaster for Greece. So that's where we are heading right now. I do hope that even at the last minute, the government will make a U-turn on its promises. Its promises were exactly the opposite of this program. We'll make a U-turn on its promise and do the responsible thing and say, look, I mean, we really need to do that. We really need to adhere to the program, get the money at a very low interest rate, and recover. And that would be the best thing for Greece. But I cannot really guarantee that, so we really have to think of the alternatives. And I'm afraid the most likely alternative would be a bankruptcy within the euro, and a less likely alternative, and even much worse, would be an exit from the euro for Greece. So that's it. I mean, Greece is a beautiful country. You can go there for vacation. Hopefully still in the euro when you go there in the summer. Thank you very much.